This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the December 18th, 2025 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Audit Committee. This meeting is also being made available telephonically for access by the public. Terry Lane, Rhode Island Housing's Director of IT, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is Terry Lane, Director of IT at Rhode Island Housing. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, your telephones will be muted. To unmute, press *6. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-429-1427.
Thank you, Terry. Good morning, Mr. Myers, General Counsel. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website to view today's agenda. A special note, we do not have a quorum for this meeting, but as there are no items for a formal vote today, we'll proceed on a discussion-only basis. If the teleconference portion is interrupted, we will stop the meeting and attempt to restore audio. Treasurer Diosa is the chair of this committee. His designee, Robert Craven, will preside. Commissioners, staff, and guests, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those listening in by teleconference. And with that, I will turn it over to the commissioner designee to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Commissioner Designee Craven calling the meeting of the Audit Committee of the Board of Commissioners to order. Corin, do you do a roll?
Of course. Chair Goddard?
Here.
Commissioner Designee Diosa?
Craven, yes.
Sorry, Craven, my apologies. Designee for Treasurer Diosa. We also have present Commissioner Kevin North.
And so we have one item on the agenda today, a review of the 2025 fiscal year and audit results. I see we have Mr. Gross here to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my name is Steve Gross. I am a audit principal with COA. I was tasked with performing and signing off on the audit. I just have a little time presentation that hopefully got to see you flow. So I'll just go over some high-level items. So second slide is just a legal disclaimer that you can read on at your own time. The third slide is just I'm going to go over the engagement scope, the plan and summary from very, very 20,000 foot high level. Required government communication to those charging government, aka the audit committee. Next up, and if you have any questions, we can go over that. So the engagement team was, like I said, with myself and our engagement manager, Ryan Hitchcock. Our contact information is there. If you have any questions that you remember later, you can always feel free to email us with anything. On to the next slide is the engagement scope. So we did an audit in two different segments. The first segment was an opinion on the financial statements, which we gave an unmodified or clean opinion on. This is the highest level opinion that you can get, and that we're essentially stating that there was no material misstatement within the financial statements. The second one is a yellow book report, also known as an internal control over financial reporting, which is required by governmental auditing standards. We had no findings, such as a material weakness that has been positioned to be poor compliance with state or federal statutes, which is obviously the highest thing you can get for those reports. Moving on, this is just a high level of payment net position. As you can see, total assets increased $684.9 million, which represented a 20.6% increase from the prior year. Cash and cash equivalents increased to $135.4 million, or 41% from the prior year. Mortgage and other loan receivables net, the mortgage loans held for sale increased by around $97.8 million, or 6.8%. Total liabilities as well increased $623.4 million, or 20.7%. Note payable and note and bonds payable increased $553 million, or 23.2%. And this was primarily due to the issuances of $540.5 million of single-family bonds and $114.4 million of multi-family bonds to finance new loan production. Bond principal repayments and reductions totaled $34.0 million for a single-family and $33 million for multi-family bonds. Total assets exceeded total liability by $385.3 million, representing an increase in net position of $55.9 million. And there's no breakout. Operating funds contributed $10.2 million, single family contributed $43.2 million, and the multifamily fund contributed $5.6 million, so that's $59 million. Moving on to the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net positions. Known as like a profit and loss or a P&L statement. Operating revenues increased $36.1 million, or 13.8% from the prior year. This was primarily driven by earnings on investments of $29.2 million increase, or 42.5%. Total expenses for the year increased $25.8 million, or 10.6% from the prior year. This increase was primarily resulted as a result of increased interest expense of $27.3 million. The gain loss on the fair value adjustments of the investments increased $30 million, which, as you can see from prior 2 years, represented a significant increase. And then net interest income, which is essentially increased $61.4 million, which was a 12% increase compared to prior year. So everything's trending in the right direction for all these metrics. On the next report, you'll look at the cash report, which I mentioned. There was no financial statement findings, and no financial statement that are commented as well. So looking good. And then required governance communications. You should have communications on required as your auditor communicates to the board, which is charged with governance. The RS responsibilities under generally accepted auditing standards. There is no change in the scope from what we had planning to when we completed and ultimately signed off on the report. We evaluated management estimates and were comfortable with those estimates. The significant estimates were loan loss reserve and the OPEB liability. The disclosures were neutral, consistent, and clear. There was no inadequate or omitted disclosures in the financial statements. There was no significant delays in the audit. In reality, we actually issued the earliest we've ever issued since we've been part of Rhode Island Housing. So kudos to both Kara and Director of Accounting Nelia for, you know, being able to get those financials to us and being able to provide all the necessary documents in order to get that audit on such a timely basis. There was no disagreements with management, there was no material audit adjustments, and there was no uncorrected misstatements. The next step is completion of the single audit. So the single audit was a little delayed this year because the compliance supplement as issued by the federal government was delayed as a result of the lockdown. With funding now available, that compliance supplement has since been issued, so we are now able to evaluate, complete that audit with coordination of the state around Auditor General's office. There's four major programs that we're going to have to test as a result. And then we also have to submit the 3-Act submission for HPDP or Mod 3-Act. And with that, if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee?
This is Commissioner Goddard. What is the cash equivalent? Cash and cash equivalent.
So cash equivalent is essentially just like cash.
Yeah, but what is that?
So the investments that are within 90 days of being able to be liquidated.
Okay.
It's the easy way of saying it. So like CDs, for example, okay, if they were longer than 90 days, they would be classified as an investment. But if they only have a 90-day window, then classify them as cash.
Okay. That makes sense. There's a lot to chew on here. I'm sure, I don't think I'll have questions for the auditor. This is straightforward, but I think the conversation in-house again. Income and how it's going.
I have a question for the auditor. It's a very clean looking audit. Do you have any comments just for our benefit outside of, you know, your standard format opinions and so forth?
Sure. This is Steve Rose, auditor from CLA. I'd say the biggest thing is always to have a significant focus on IT and upgrading IT systems, making sure you're a top of line product, especially with the amount of data that's housed within Rhode Island Housing. Perhaps doing like a penetration test, for example, to make sure that, you know, any foreign actor or person isn't able to gain access to that sensitive information, just because you can only imagine what can happen when
right.
that information is released to the public or the dark web.
Okay. Thank you.
That's great that you raised that. Brett, do you want to make any comments on the work that we're doing in IT to penetration testing?
Sure. We just completed our regular penetration test about a month ago. We're going to have some results to share first with the staff, management staff, and then we'll bring to the board January with our annual safeguard act update. But it's something we regularly do. We have three in-house security staffers who are constantly monitoring things. We have a suite of software and firewall backups that check those vulnerability testing, rolling testing, but also annual penetration testing.
If we could talk about this later, but also what third parties, is that a risk at all? Is that something like that as well?
Yeah, we try to work with our third party contractors and partners as much as we can to encourage them to enhance their security protocols as much as we can. Sometimes we can do that, sometimes we can't. We always say we'll never change our posture for our partners, and we don't expect them to change their security posture for us. But we've had enough near misses in the last couple of years with, you know, third parties that we're using consultants or other third parties that we're using third parties to manage data that we're sensitive to that. We try to isolate ourselves as much as possible and provide them resources that can help us.
Seeing as there are no further comments and no further agenda items, I think we can move to adjourn. I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Got it. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you.